Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
And we're here with Mars, not so much because Mars is the god of war, which it is, but did you get a chance to see NASA release some photos of Saturn today?
No, I did not. I did not see those.
Cool, cool shots of Saturn. Close up from the Cassini.
Ooh,
man. Detail. Really, really good shots.
Good
shots.
So
I was kind of in a celestial mood this evening, which is good because there may not be much left of this planet by the time Obama gets it done with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, did you catch that 613 vote in the Senate today?
On your water?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
And the two California senators voted against it. Oh,
you know, apparently Fish are their constituents. I don't know. You know, folks, the San Joaquin Valley produces 13% of the nation's produce. And they aren't doing that this year. And you want to know why? Because of the Endangered Species Act. Because there's a damn 2-inch smelt fish that some of them get killed when the pumps are turned on. And so, therefore, up to 40,000 farmers are gone. They're out of work. And if you know anything about farming, once you lose a year, you're pretty much dead. Because they're doing it on credit.
It was a stupid choice. Dumb
choice.
It
certainly was a stupid choice. And
I've been pretty much against the Endangered Species Act from its inception.
When Nixon signed it, yeah.
On
you bet.
Premise.
Yeah. Save the whales that, my butt.
Yeah. That an animal has greater demand upon the resources of the planet than we do.
Yep.
Now.
You betcha.
That doesn't mean that we have to be stupid shits about the stewardship of the planet.
Nope. That's exactly right.
But, at the same token, you know, who's the idiot that said, we could possibly be giving the opportunity for animals to assert their rights?
Let me see. His initials wouldn't be CS, would it? Yeah.
Just, absolutely dumb. Dumb.
Yep. Well, you know, actually, they don't need that because the Endangered Species Act gives an ability for a private citizen to bring suit on, in this case, federal legislation, so they can bypass the animal. They don't need an animal to have an attorney, as long as a private citizen can bring the suit. And boy, let me tell you, they do. You may have heard about our big fires last year out here in my part of the country.
Yeah. How do you put out fires without water?
You know what? All of that timber that burned?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Those are under injunctions. Nobody can even go get that black timber because, oh my God, we might harm the environment.
What?
Nope. Yep. Just let it lay there and rot. Yep.
You know, I've often said that if the left had any brains at all, we'd be in a lot better shape. All right, let's get to the important stuff.
Okay.
To the important stuff today.
Yeah.
No more smelt.
Yeah. By the way, can you tell I'm pissed about all that?
Yeah, you should be. I mean, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
It comes along with the general idea. You know, you and I talked about this a little bit today. You know, this concept of leadership.
Yes.
And I've made the argument that we are, in fact, you know, leadership-less at this particular point in time.
Yep, you made that argument.
And I think you're right in the sense that we are leaders, you,
mm-hmm.
I.
Yep.
People that are making a statement in different places. And I certainly understand that point of view, but I disagree.
Okay.
You know, and it's partially a matter of size and context.
Yep. And incidentally, for our listeners, it's okay that we disagree. This is not a lib show. We don't have to denigrate each other because we disagree.
Racist!
Yeah, right. Sexist!
It is a lack of leadership. Let's talk it. You did suggest on the national level. We are certainly lacking leadership at the national level. It is not just Obama. I mean, there's no leadership on the right at this point. We have some pundits that are making very loud noises.
Mm-hmm.
We have some, you know, celebrities that are stirring pots. But that's not leadership. You know, they are not setting, they are not taking our principles, they are not setting goals and saying, this is what we need to do. You know, and it's not, and understand, it is to say, it's not enough to say we oppose Obama's attempts to take over the healthcare industry in the United States. That
That's
is not
good.
A goal.
That's right.
Okay? That is a purpose. That is a need. That is a task to which we have to assert our energies against.
Yes.
It is not a goal.
I agree.
And even the idea that we are going to want to take 50 seats back in the House, you know, that is not a goal. Okay? That is a political piece of gamemanship.
Okay.
JFK set a goal. We're going to put a man on the moon in 10 years.
Okay.
That is a goal.
Well, let me disagree just for the sake of the conversation here. Taking 50 seats in 2010 is a goal. The same as put a man on the moon in 10 years is a goal. Yeah.
Go ahead. You're going to qualify the adjective applied to the goal, aren't you? Please tell me you're going to qualify those goals with an adjective.
Why would I?
Otherwise, I'm going to disagree with you.
Well, that's fine. You can disagree with me. It's not a lib show.
Racist!
Here's my take on that whole leadership thing.
Okay.
If we had legislators that were, in fact, truly representatives as opposed to looking out for their own power base and applying a political calculus to what they believe they see, then I think that you would be correct that there is no leadership. My contention is this. We, the people, and that means people that are active, that are putting forth their thoughts, that are saying, yes, we have to fight against this. We have to fight for smaller government. are in fact the leaders, and they're looking for the representative that in fact gets out in front of them and says, you're right, follow me, I can get you there. Based on that, no, we don't have any national leaders. But you know what? I'm not convinced that we need national leaders.
Okay.
The most powerful force in American politics is the will of the people.
Okay. I was kind of hoping that you would go in that general direction because
okay.
You know, I agree with the concept.
Right.
Politically.
Yes.
Specifically politically.
Yes.
That having a, superstar, for everyone to, adore and follow.
Yes.
Is not an appropriate way to run a political party or run a government.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And here's why I think that the goal of having 50 seats or some political goal is, in fact, not the kind of goal that a leader will bring up, and why I think the JFK goal was. Okay? What is the purpose of government in our day-to-day society? Let me rephrase that.
My personal point of view is damn little, but okay, go ahead.
Right. That's the place where I want you to go.
Yeah.
Damn little, okay? In the scheme of things, the United States government is simply a bit player.
Yes.
It is not the be-all and end-all of what the United States is.
And not only...
Government should not set our goals.
That's right.
It shouldn't be our goal. It should be, if I want to say to you that I want to, if I say to you that I want to be able to afford to be able to go on vacation next year for 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
The goal of washing the dishes is a goal, and it's going to help in the long run get me to where it is, but I'm not going to elicit any great leadership, from somebody that says, I will show you how to get the dishes done.
Yeah, right.
That's what government is. Somebody trying to tell us how to get the dishes done. It's not what we need to be focusing on. Yes, politically, this you and I and the American Conservative Party are focused on a political movement. The Tea Parties and everything else that's going on is a political movement. It is an encompassing and involved process of dealing with the governance of our country because, the pile of dishes right now, is 15 feet tall, 8 feet at the base, that covers every available sitting. We need to clean up the dishes.
Yep.
We haven't done the dishes in so long, it's a mess. And so right now we're having to devote a whole lot of time to doing the dishes.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
It's not the goal.
No.
Okay, and that's what I want in a small way. I want a leader that is going to say, yes, we need to get the dishes done. Yes, we're going to get the dishes done. But I want you to put your eyes out here, out there. And this is what we're going to accomplish. Having gotten rid of the dishes, I want you to keep your eyes on the ball. This is the ball I want you to keep your eyes on. There is none of that. We have a big, huge vacuum out there because there's nothing there. Now.
No. You cannot say there is nothing there. There are way too many of us on the social media that are saying exactly that. Exactly that.
Okay.
They're saying, yeah, we have this problem. Yes, we have to stop this. Yes, we have to stop crap and tax. Yes, we have to stop the health care. Yes, we have to stop card check. Yes, we have
but
to stop
you
all
and
of that.
I,
but what we're looking
I,
for, what we are looking for is smaller government, less intrusive, more liberty.
Yeah, but you and I are shouting into the wind of the hurricane.
There's a lot of people that are saying the same thing.
That's absolutely correct. But no matter how many people you have standing on the coastline of Florida yelling at the hurricane, you could have 2 million people standing on the shore of the Florida Gulf Coast, yelling at the hurricane. That hurricane is just going to come blowing right in. Now, I'm not going to dismiss the fact that you have things like the Tea Parties. You have things like, you know, Rush and Hannity and Beck that are creating tornadoes, in the face of the hurricane. And I'm all for it.
Yep.
Absolutely, all for it. Those, you know, when I was 17, I set some goals for myself. I also expected it would take 40 years to accomplish some of those goals.
Okay.
And some of those goals could not be accomplished by me alone, no matter how hard I worked. Okay? They were simply not possible. When I set those goals, one of the things I needed was I needed a computer that would fit into the palm of my hand. And let me tell you, in 1975, the closest we came was, you know, a keyboard that would fit into your hand, because the rest of it filled the room.
Okay.
So for some of the things that I need, I need the computing power, you know, of the best computers to be able to fit in the palm of my hand. Okay, I could not do anything about that. I had to assume, had to plan that, you know, society would make achievements that would make my plans more feasible as we progress.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. There were many obstacles to overcome in the 60s to be able to put a man on the moon.
Absolutely.
And, of course, most people don't realize that, in fact, the computers that sit on the shuttles today are about as powerful as the scientific computers, calculators, that CJ bought for $105 for high school this year.
I know. You're just...
Okay.
Sometimes you just shake your head and say, man.
Yeah, they have the computing capacity of a handheld calculator.
Yeah, exactly.
And they take up huge space in the shuttles. And we rely... There are triple redundant systems in there because they have a tendency to break down.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, so, you know, these are the things that I want people to pay attention to, the fact that, you know, and maybe it's my pie in the skyness, maybe it's sitting on the deck, you know, staring up into the sky going, damn, these problems that we are screwing around with and spending horrendous amounts of money and time goofing around with are such a monumental waste of time and energy that, you know, we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing as a race.
I don't disagree with that.
All right. And right now, the President of the United States lacks any cognizant ability to lead.
Yep. That's become so apparent.
You know, at least you and I have joked about him being so far over his head. At this particular point, he's not even in the pool.
No. He'd need the Hubble telescope to see whale poop.
That's a thought I don't want to see. All right. So, right, you know, the man is, you know, there has been some arguments about the idea that Obama is doing, that his actions with regard to foreign policy, which so many of us just shake our head and go, are you a moron, are in fact calculated attempts to insult specific people in such a way as that only the people that he wants to see actually see the insult. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is so little nuance in that attempted nuance to give him some kind of cover. It's whale poop.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's bullshit.
Yep.
Okay? I've never seen a greater chunk of public servant humanity, you know, complete and utter morons. You know, if there is a way to do something in foreign policy, a good way, a right way, a wrong way, and a bad way, you know, Obama's going to ignore the first three and absolutely do it the bad way.
Absolutely.
It's not even a matter of wrong. He's just doing it the worst possible way.
Yep. I agree.
We shut our embassy down in Honduras.
I heard that.
I'm just amazed. Why?
Well, not only did we shut down the embassy in Honduras, we canceled their damn diplomatic visas so they can't go to the UN.
But Ahmadinejad could come, and Chavez can come.
Chavez can come. Gaddafi can come. You betcha, Red Ryder.
No. All right. So Obama went on all the TV shows on Sunday except for Fox.
The full Ginsburg, except for Fox, yes.
Except for Fox. And he went on Letterman last night. And my question to you is, do you believe, after all that blitz, that Obama did himself any good whatsoever?
Before I answer that, let me tell you that he said the very first thing that I've agreed with him on.
Ooh, okay.
And that was in response to Letterman's question about, is this race-driven? He said, you know, this may come as a shock to you, but I was black before I was elected. And
really?
I thought, whoa, okay, good. Now, could you please convey that to your cronies, minions, and other folks so that they quit throwing that worn-out race card around?
Yeah, because if everybody knew that he was black before he was elected, then, you know, it wasn't so much racism that got him elected.
Exactly.
Except for, I think it was.
Well, you know, there had to be a combination of rabid partisan politics, a 95% plus vote for him out of the black community, and white guilt. That's what got him elected. Maybe we can get this whole race thing in back of us if we just elect a black man.
Right.
How's that working for you, America? So tell me what your question was again, now that I did my little mini
rant. Obama's immediate blitz of Sunday.
Did that help him? Not a bit.
Did that help?
Not a bit. What did he say that was new? Absolutely nothing.
I didn't expect that he would actually say anything new.
56% of the people disagree with him, according to the latest Rasmussen poll, which is registered voters, I believe. It's either registered voters or likely voters.
Rasmussen is generally likely
56%
voters.
Of the American people disagree with him. Does he check
and
his
he
whole card?
Off-prompter.
No. What's that?
He was going to be off prompter, so he wasn't going to say anything new. Well,
no.
He may not have said anything new, but he certainly may have said something stupid.
There's always that hope, yeah.
But apparently he pretty much dodged that bullet, except for the...
The Stephanopoulos thing?
Yeah, There's little things in there. You know, him dodging Stephanopoulos' question.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, the fact that he's still on a campaign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so. But given his history, that's probably predictable. I think that the only thing that guy knows how to do is campaign. He obviously doesn't have a clue as to how to govern.
Right.
He only knows how to campaign. And that has worked for him in the past. What's the old gambler saying? Never quit a winner. You don't do that.
Right.
So what does he do? He doesn't quit a winner. He knows how to campaign? Oh, okay. I'll just campaign some more. But people aren't buying it.
No, because, on a campaign, you just have to... say words.
Yep. And make it sound good and hopey and changey and very vague.
Now he's responsible for it. And let me tell you, I was wondering, has Obama, put up any legislation?
No. Well, his camp would tell you, oh, of course. What they don't tell you is, oh, gosh, those are things that were being worked on previously, and the powers that be were persuaded that, gosh, we can tie our star, our cart to this horse and get ahead, and so they allowed him to take credit.
I don't think there's anything that maybe it's delegation of authority. I want a stimulus package, you take care of it. But,
I don't know.
I'm not too convinced about that particular idea.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, his problems at this particular point in time.
Oh, boy. He's got a bunch of them.
Is Acorn going to hurt him, or is he going to dodge that bullet?
I don't think he can dodge it.
He's certainly not helping himself with the ideas that he's trying to distance himself from it.
But he is on the video, audio, verbal record as saying, these people are part of me. You're going to have a place in my administration. You're going to help me set the agenda. His history is of working with them.
Yeah, but his
both
history
as
is
an attorney.
But his history is throwing people under the bus.
As soon as they create
a problem for him.
At some point in time, there's no more room under the bus.
He's just going to get a bigger bus. He's got a whole auto company he can make buses with.
I don't know that you can build a big enough bus. And for the very first time, independents have left him.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job with the Acorn thing because I think they did it right by putting one out and then letting everybody jump into it. It's just an isolated thing and then throwing out the second one, going by constantly getting them on the record of defending, and each next one up just ripped into that more
and got worse and worse.
And it got worse and worse. Brings us to yesterday with the NEA. Now, we're aware of this situation back in August when it came up.
Yep.
There was a lot of talk about it. I don't know if we actually brought it up on the show.
I don't remember that we did.
I don't remember that we did because at the time, it's kind of like, Republicans made a big stink about the fact that Al Gore was sitting in the vice president's office doing campaign calls.
Right.
Like the Republicans don't do it either.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And incidentally, I'm
not changing the subject, but I did a tweet today about that, and here is what I said. What I basically said was, folks, you cannot ever, never trust a politician. I don't care what initial they have after their name.
Right.
You can't do it. And Repubs, I'm sorry if that pisses you off, but, it's true. I'm sorry. You got 8 years to look back on and say, you know what? Repubs really screwed it up.
Right. Every chance they had, they did something stupid to screw things up.
Absolutely.
So, right. Right. A politician is a politician is a politician is a politician.
That's right.
And for anybody to say, that's the discourse that was being talked about, and like going, give me a break. The question becomes, is the NEA the little scandal? I ask this because, Watergate was a little scandal.
Yep, when it first came out. You betcha it was.
It's a little scandal. And there was lots of ways where that scandal could have been just simply, cut off at the knees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my question is the NEA, and for those of you that don't know, the White House and the Democratic National Committee got together with a whole bunch of people that were receiving money from the NEA and suggested really, really strongly that they should use their grant monies or use their efforts. They didn't specifically say grant monies, but they should use their efforts to support the policies and plans of the Obama administration.
Yes, they did.
on tape. We throw around the word propaganda a whole lot.
Yes, we do.
But that was propaganda. That was an attempt
to
really get propaganda produced and put out there. And, you know,
I mean, that was a Leni Riefenstahl moment.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know history, Leni Riefenstahl was the guy who did the Hitler propaganda movies and that kind of stuff. Just as a historical lesson.
This was stupidity.
This was stupidity
on a scale unheard of in modern politics.
In modern politics, that's true.
We
have to qualify that. It's modern politics.
It's truly a stupid thing, and
it
looks like they're going to catch them trying to cover it up.
Oh yeah.
I don't think the cover up's going to be really, really serious because they got them so cold on this from the get go that I don't think there's going to be as much of a cover up as they would like. I think they were kind of hoping that after August this thing had died down. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Is this one of a thousand cuts?
I think that's probably it, because if you will notice, what Beck now refers to as the fringe media, formerly known as the MSM, they are picking up on it. I'm not seeing anything in the New York Times and that kind of stuff about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether it's enough of an issue. I think not. I mean, it's going to be if they do something like this again, once is stupidity. Twice is a plan.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's an old military adage about
it. Of course, I've been
saying that
with the State Department at this point. So, you know. All right. I don't know. We're going to have to see how it plays out. I'm not convinced at this point that it's anything more than a little scandal. But putting things together could be lots of different things. All right, let's talk about the economy for a few minutes.
Oh, God. Okay.
In about 3 weeks, they're going to release the first preliminary estimate of the third quarter GDP.
Yes, they will.
Everything that I'm seeing at this point from the econ side of the blogosphere is that they're looking at somewhere between a 2.2 and a 2.6 positive GDP for the third quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
They're also assuming that there's going to be a little bit of fudging going on to make that number look a little bit better.
Hmm.
I think they would be really, really dumb if they did that, because I don't think anybody's going to believe, except for people that just get their information from the fringe media, that this is anything other than the effect, and this is where Biden was perfectly correct. The stimulus is having an impact. Between cash for clunkers, the general stimulus, and the $8,000 tax credit for housing, we've had a perfect little storm of economic boost to the tune of about $3 trillion that is going to have an impact on GDP. Unfortunately, cash for clunkers has already shown its colors by the worst drop-off in auto sales in recorded history in August.
Yep.
The housing market is poised to do exactly the same thing come sometime mid-October, although it's not going to end before November. You have to close in order to have it, which means just about anything that is going to be sold will be sold by the end of this month, the latest the middle of October.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we might see a little bit of flurry. We're going to see a flurry here this month, but that's going to quickly dissipate?
I'm really not convinced that they can show a positive number for GDP. Let me recalibrate that. I'm not really sure that they can show an honest number of a positive GDP.
I beg to differ with you. Going to be there. It's going to be there because we've actually had, and it's purely a numbers thing. It is not, obviously, unemployment hasn't reversed. We're not having lots more people working. Production, with only a few exceptions, are actually showing stabilized numbers. So they're not going down further. That's going to create a situation where, because it's not getting worse, it's actually going to show that it's getting better. However, the problem with that is, of course, is that it's a false positive. In the sense that the economy itself might show growth, it's purely a financial increase. It's not a structural increase. And because it's not a structural increase, there's nothing to support it once the financial support disappears, and that financial support is, in fact, disappearing pretty strenuously, pretty quickly, pretty finally, because I don't think they're going to do a cash for clunkers or extend the tax credit. They may extend the tax credit once they realize what the drop-off is, but we're going to see a little flurry here this month that's going to steal, just like the cash for clunkers, it's going to steal sales from November, December, and January, which are traditionally pretty slow months to begin with. We're going to see a pretty significant drop, I think. It's going to be, we're not leaving the recession. They may call it the end, but we're going to be right back into it hard and fast. And then, here's the other shoe. If, in fact, GDP comes in negative, I don't believe it can. I don't believe it will. If it does, that's the other shoe. That will be the other two, and that will be the Black October number.
I'm certainly not looking for a Black October. I'm truly not. I mean, that hurts way too many people that just simply don't have any control over any part of it. At the same time, it's really hard to argue with the numbers. Here's the thing that I worry about. The thing that I worry about is we have historical evidence that the fiscal and monetary policies of the United States government extended the Great Depression, beginning in 1929, actually a little bit earlier than that, but beginning in 1929, for probably 6 to 8 years at least. I have heard some numbers up to 10 years. That was primarily a result of the Fed not providing liquidity, and that's the fiscal part of it, and the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act that basically triggered a worldwide trade war. Now, right now, the Fed is providing way too much liquidity. They're artificially holding rates down. But
have you seen the graphs of the reserves?
I have not seen the graphs, no.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that everybody's understanding this.
Yeah.
This is a graph of the Federal Reserve requirements for banks and how much they maintain. Okay, that percentage is extremely small, and it's extremely stable. And if you look at the graph, what you see is basically a flat line just above zero for the last 60 years.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Now, to give you an idea, the scale goes from zero to 100. This line is barely above zero and has been there for 60 years. Okay? Until 10 months ago. And then that line, right now, is sitting at around 70.
Ow.
It's not just a, you know, vertical line.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they turned the graph on its side.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
There is so much money just sitting out there. Now, you and I know why it's sitting up there, because the banks are absolutely positively convinced that the vast majority of assets that they're holding on their books are, in fact, illiquid and not anywhere near the value they are, and they're putting that money aside because once they have to show those losses, that line is going to reverse direction in almost exactly the same magnitude and speed in the other direction.
Yep, exactly. I incidentally, did you get a chance to take a look at that hot air link that I sent you on the FDIC and the banks?
Only a little bit.
Okay. Well,
only a little bit. Yeah, the FDIC borrowing money from the banks. It's
Now, here's what folks have to understand, and I'm talking to you from 35-plus years experience as a retail banker, okay? Here's what folks have to understand. The banks already fund the FDIC. They pay, depending on the political administration and what the financial health of the FDIC is and what they think the bank failures are going to be, they pay anywhere from 4 cents to 10 cents on the $100 of deposits. That is a direct cost to the banks, to the FDIC, to build this pool of money that they have to rescue or otherwise wind up a failed bank. So on top of the premiums that the banks pay to the FDIC, now the FDIC is talking about borrowing money from the banks on top of what they're already collecting in terms of premiums. That tells you two things. One, they expect a whole lot more bank failures. And two, they don't have anywhere near, not even close, not on multiple orders of magnitude, enough resources to cover that.
Unless they go to the Treasury, which has been surprisingly
non-helpful. Yes. Gee, a little bit of a turf war, I think, maybe?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Let's get away from...
Okay.
Because you and I have our bets coming up in the next 6 weeks to see who gets to 10% on unemployment.
Yep.
I think that's one withering green shoot that we're going to enjoy seeing.
Yes, indeed.
Well, as I suggested to other people recently, you know, please don't misunderstand my glee every time I talk about the coming crash of the economy.
Yeah.
I'm just likely to get rich at it.
Exactly.
Sorry. I'm gonna be really busy for the next 2 years.
Hey, there's a silver lining in every cloud.
Yeah, you know, it has to be there. All right. Strategically, I have said that Obama lacks leadership.
Yes, he
does.
But
it's not just a matter of failing to set goals and lead people.
That's true.
It is a strategic way of approaching his job. Now, strategically, dealing with the politics of the United States is one thing. And he has lots of people to give him ideas and suggestions. You know,
advice.
Axel Foley. You know.
Yep.
That's, you know, my little fun word. In any case, you know, he has his people that he can go to. That. Foreign policy is a different area. Foreign policy is absolutely a matter of his personal point of view, both of the United States and the people and countries that he's dealing with.
Absolutely.
It absolutely is a direct result of his vision for the United States and how we are perceived and how we act in the rest of the world.
Yes.
And that strategic vision of how he wants to be perceived and how he wants to deal with the rest of the world, is in fact his. His and his alone.
Yep.
He can
absolutely
talk about advisors, he can talk about Secretary of State, he can talk about, you know, national security advisors. He owns foreign policy strategy.
And he cannot blame Bush.
No. This is 100% his. There's nothing here that he can say, the previous administration. He came into power saying that his vision for foreign policy, his strategic vision for foreign policy, was more correct than anybody else. And when it was implemented, we would see direct results.
Yep, he said that.
We're seeing them.
Yes, we are.
And it's all bad.
Yes.
All bad. For a year and a half, the left has said Iraq was a distraction. The good war was Afghanistan. We need to get out of Iraq and back into Afghanistan.
Yep.
Well, we've had a new president for the last 8 months, and Afghanistan is failing.
Absolutely.
We are in deep shit in there because every little piece of crap strategic vision he's had has done nothing but make things worse.
Not only that, but he has failed to make decisions. He has had McChrystal's request for, I believe it's 40,000 more troops, since mid-August. That request has been on his date, on his desk. Ought to have been right in the middle of it, the only piece of paper showing. And he said, not more than 2 or 3 days ago, that before I resource this conflict, we have to make sure we have the right strategy in place.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell have you been doing for 8 months, you stupid SOB?
Right. Because we've got guys out there dying because he's got to think about it.
Absolutely.
You know,
if
having
didn't,
a stimulus
if he
bill
did not,
passed,
if he did not have a damn strategy in place, then what the hell was he saying on the campaign trail?
Right. You can have a stimulus package passed in 2 days and sit on your desk for three.
You
cannot have a request for more military people and resources show up on your desk and it sit for 2 months.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Honduras.
Oh, man.
We actually might get a coup there for real.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because we've let the Honduran people just sit out there and hang in the wind to the point where the formerly deposed president may have picked up enough outside help and enough, you know, access to some, you know, elements within the country that he might be able to pull off an actual coup.
Hmm.
And if the United States of America, through the President Barack Obama, supports that coup, the left may have exactly what it thinks it had in the Tea Parties. Because I'm saying it right here, right now, I'm going to be calling for a revolt.
Absolutely. And let me tell you this, folks. When you have a guy who gives hood hugs and handshakes to Chavez, who says, oh gosh, Iran protesters, yeah, that's great, that's really great, but you know, that's an internal matter, we aren't going to get involved in that. I'm sitting here saying, folks, this is just plain wrong. Just wrong. Not mistaken, not misguided, it's just wrong. And Honduran people, you have my personal apology for the cowardly, craven acts of the President of the United States.
I will not apologize for him. I will not. I will tell the Honduran people, you know, Americans stand for you. You know, we stand with you. We want to do what we can to help. We will do what we can to help. But our government has abdicated its responsibility in this planet's, you know, hierarchy of, you know, moral leadership.
Yep.
That is my biggest problem with this idea that America is not exceptional, that America is just one of a whole lot of countries. I'm sorry. This is, and you know, this is not a place I'd like to go. I'm sorry. The United States has a moral responsibility to lead.
Yes.
It has a moral responsibility to be that beacon, to be that moral, you know, high ground, you know, in the planet. Yes, we are not perfect. Yes, we will fail in
yep.
some regards. Yes, we are not going to be right all the time. But it is our responsibility to be there.
Absolutely.
And Obama's abdicating that responsibility. It's a lack of leadership that borders on immorality, in my opinion. And Hondurans are going to pay the price for it. And I will not forgive nor apologize to Barack Obama. I will act.
We touched on it a little bit earlier when you said, you know, once is coincidence, twice is a plan. And there's a military adage that goes along with that, and it's in various iterations. The one that I always learned was once was happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times was a plan, four times was a strategy. And I think you only have to look at the actual things that have happened and the actual actions of this administration to say, we don't have a happenstance, we don't have a coincidence, yeah, we've got a plan, and yeah, we've got a strategy. And that strategy is not good for the United States of America, nor for the rest of the world.
Mr. Brzezinski, what's his name? I don't know.
Jesus, yes. The big new Brzezinski. President Carter's guy.
Who suggested that if Israel goes after Iran, American warplanes stationed in Iraq should shoot them down.
Yes, he said that. My jaw dropped.
Yeah, I'm telling you...
A liberty in reverse was his words.
I'm of the opinion that we might have a little problem with senior officers in the field with that kind of order.
If I were a senior officer in the field, you'd damn well have a problem.
I'd have a problem with that order.
Yep.
You know, sorry. No.
Jeez, every damn one of my jets is down for maintenance. I'm sorry. Just
you know,
I
have said to every left-wing person that I've talked to, Barack Obama is my president. I, as a former military person, took an oath that, as far as I'm concerned, still stands to serve and protect this country and this Constitution.
Yep.
And that means defending... you know, Barack Obama from any threat. Okay? However, there is one threat Barack Obama can, you know, bring upon himself that, in fact, I will not defend him against. And that is the threat where he abdicates his responsibility to support and defend the Constitution.
Yep. I mean, because those of you who have been in the service know this oath well. Those of you who have not, let me tell you in part what it says. I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Right. Doesn't say I'll protect the president. Doesn't say I'll protect Congress.
Yep.
I will protect the Constitution.
Yes.
And that
and
is
you're
what
right.
Honduran
that oath,
people have
that
done.
That oath never, ever expires.
Doesn't expire. I'm absolutely, and, you know, anybody that has taken that oath, in the thought of that oath in a later date, you know, I know it exists. You know,
yep.
There is a certain amount of pride and conviction that goes with the fact that that oath is important. Really?
Oh, yes.
Damn important. And
yeah.
Nobody takes it lightly. Nobody takes it lightly. You know, and right now, that would be a problem for me.
Yes, it would.
You know, and he's done it again in Europe. You know,
yes,
we're going to provide this missile shield. Yes, we're going to provide. He has said, yes, we're going to provide this missile shield. And now he has yanked it from Eastern Europe.
Yes,
and the Eastern Europeans have gone, what the hell are you doing? And
yeah.
Russia said, thank you very much, and we're going to put our missiles right there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, they did. And to top it all off, did that on the 70th anniversary to the day when Russia invaded Poland. I mean, folks, you don't get any more calculated an insult than that.
Right, you know, and that's the point that the article was trying to make about the fact that Obama is actually trying to do calculated insults. And I'm sitting like going, what strategic vision can justify that particular point of view?
I mean, he has a State Department with a department within it that pays particular attention to things like that. He could not have known. He could not have known any more that was the 70th anniversary than he could not know that Acorn was getting federal dollars. It is absolutely impossible for him to not have known.
I as a strategic vision, Barack Obama's, Barack Obama is a fighter that has walked into the ring and the bell has gone off and he's taken off his gloves and put his hands behind his back.
Yep.
Except for he's done it to us.
Yes, he has. You know,
okay.
And I keep trying to make sense out of it.
There's no sense to be made out of it.
Well,
unless you,
I know.
You believe that he hates this country's position. I don't think he hates this country. I think he hates this country's position of moral leadership in the world, because I don't think he thinks that we're moral enough to do it.
Hmm. Well,
I've also suggested that he's a coward.
I believe that to be true.
That he is a moral and strategic coward. I do not believe he can fight a war. I believe Afghanistan is a lost cause simply because he cannot structurally in his own mind fight a war because he doesn't think a war has to be fought at all. And so he won't. He cannot conceive of an idea that suggests that a war is necessary in any shape or form. I don't care what he said.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
We've got a problem. This is going to continue to grow.
Yes, it will.
I just want to throw something out.
Okay.
We've got a little over a minute left.
Okay.
In case, just as an aside, for all you people that got cash for clunkers, around the first week of February, you're going to get a piece of paper in the mail from the federal government. It's called a 1099.
Yes, you will.
It's going to suggest that the government has paid you $4,500 and the IRS wants their cut.
Yes, they do.
That $4,500 is taxable and you will pay taxes upon it.
And gosh, we're really sorry if that throws you into a higher tax bracket than you had planned on.
Yeah. 47 seconds. I have a question. Think about it.
Okay.
Has Obama been a positive for conservatives?
Absolutely. I don't have to think much about that. All absolutely.
Right. 30 seconds, do your shout-out.
Okay. Hey, CT Buddies, Poet Cherry, Arkansas Traveler, Just Me Pammy, thank you for listening. Appreciate that. And we hope that you tune in again.
Bill, it's been an interesting week.
Yes,
we've got about 15 days before things start showing up for third quarter. I'll talk to you next week.
You betcha.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, all.
Now, for all you podcast people.
Yeah. Here's the lowdown skinny scoop.
The lowdown skinny scoop. Okay. So the question is, you know, I don't know what his strategy is. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm sitting here saying, if you believe that the goal of an American president is to preserve and protect the American people, to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States, it is hard for me to see how, given his actions, given the results of those actions, and then further actions along the same lines, and the results of those actions, how you can look at that and say those actions and the consequences further the protection of either the Constitution or the American people. I can't get there from here.
Well, if you believe that American arrogance has called down upon us all the fire and brimstone that has occurred,
mm-hmm.
then your only response is to reverse course on all those things that you think promote or contribute to that arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
On the idea that you will make America safer because we are no longer no longer threatened by that. Bill is gone. I'm going to see if he comes back up. Because, you know, frankly, I'm not going to keep talking just to you guys. I could. I would. But I also have things to do tonight. I was going to cut it a little bit short. I wonder what happened to poor Bill. All right. So, if you are listening to this podcast, I would appreciate greatly if you would send me an email. tracy.coyle@gmail.com. Give me a shout. Let me know that you heard it on the podcast. I know a bunch of you are listening, no, and I'd be interested to hear what you say about whether we should keep doing this green room after our conversation. In the meantime, everyone else, have a good week, and we'll talk to you.